Acts 1. The former treaties have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the scripture, Brother Branham quotes the scripture a lot, and it's talking about the Holy Ghost, and it's talking about, you know, you're saying John baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And he says that's where your power is going to come from. Because verse 8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it's after the Holy Ghost comes upon you is when you receive power. And then you can witness, you know, in Jerusalem and Judea, the uttermost parts of the earth. But we know that it means wherever we are, wherever we go, we should be a witness, you know, of the Holy Ghost, of God, of his power. We're supposed to be written epistles, you know, known of men, so that our lives can be an example of what Christ is, you know, because many people will say things, and we all know people who, you know, they talk and they say things, and they say, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that, or this is the best thing, or maybe someone has a diet they believe in, and they say, oh, this diet is so good. But when you look at what they actually eat, they're not eating that diet. Or when they'll say that, you know, this is so good to do, but when you look at their life, they're not doing it. So there's going to be lots of scenarios in life where people are claiming things or saying things or professing things or advocating for things. But when you look at their life, they're not actually living out those attributes. They're not actually living out, you know, what they're saying is good. And that's why Jesus would say about the Pharisees, you know, what they bid you observe, you know, what they tell you to look at and to do. He said, what they bid you observe, that observe and do. But don't look at their lives, because they're hypocrites. The way they're living is actually not according to the scriptures. But the things they're telling you to do usually are actually good for you. But when you actually look at their lives, don't copy their lives, but do what they're saying. But don't be fooled by, you know, their lives. And it's really the Holy Ghost that is being emphasized here, and that's how we receive our power. And Brother Branham, preaching in What Was the Holy Ghost, he says, we found it to be a seal, a comforter, the rest and the joy and the peace and the resurrection, and all that God promised to his church lays within the Holy Spirit. So all that God promised to his church lays within the Holy Spirit. All of these promises in the scriptures, when we sing every promise in the book is mine, you know, we talk about the book and how there's so many promises in there. And all of those promises are unlocked with the Holy Spirit. That's how you unlock these promises. That's how you gain access to all these promises. And he once again, let's go over what he said again. He said, we found it to be a seal. So it's to seal you. That's what Holy Ghost is for. It's to seal you. And I know we hear this phrase a lot, and maybe it kind of becomes, when you're raised in the message, you're raised, you know, around preachers and preaching, you kind of get used to these sayings. But it seals you unto the day of your redemption. And what that means is you are completely God's. You are absolutely God's until the day of your redemption. Because we know that here on this earth, we're in this flesh, and we struggle with sin, and we're always going to struggle with sin. But when you get the Holy Ghost, you're sealed off from sin until the day of your redemption, which is when, you know, we all get either raptured or you might go by the grave. But it's until we get to heaven, we get to the millennium, we celebrate with Jesus. We get to be with him for the rest of eternity. Until that day, you know, until the day where our bodies are changed, so we literally can't sin anymore. until that day where we're completely changed, the Holy Ghost gives us a seal so that we are His until that day. So, you know, it's good to sometimes think about things that phrases we hear a lot, like sealed until the day of your redemption, and we hear so much it kind of becomes numb to us. But without that seal, we are lost. We have to be sealed. We have to be His. You know, we have to be with God. We have to be in God. And that's what seals us, is the Holy Ghost. And it says it's a comforter. So, you know, when things are going wrong in your life, when things are happening, when the world seems to fall apart, God is going to be there as a comforter to give you comfort in those times. He said he's the rest, so that, you know, you're not going to be, you know, as the scripture says, you know, with every wind of doctrine, you just sway, or every little thing that happens in your life, you're like, I'm a believer today. And then something bad happens, and you're like, oh, I'm not a believer. And then, you know, just being swayed by the ways, the things that are going to happen in life, and the trials and tribulations that come with just being alive and being a human. But God's going to give you rest in those times. It is the joy and the peace and this the satisfaction that is in the Lord. You know, having a sad, I don't know if you guys know that song, A Satisfied Mind, but just having a satisfied mind. And many people can obtain riches and wealth and many things, but a satisfied mind is something only God can give you, is a satisfied mind. And to have true joy, like on the deepest parts of your soul, to have joy and to have that peace. And it says, and the resurrection. So that's what's going to resurrect us. You know, if you have to go by the grave, that's what's going to resurrect us to go on. And Brother Brandon, what was the Holy Ghost? He once again says, you're not converted until you've received the Holy Ghost. That's right. You are believing unto the Holy Spirit has spoke to you, and you publicly confessed Him. The devil has the same thing. I believe him to be a son of God. So does the devil. But you are walking on towards him. The first thing he said was, you are not converted until you've received the Holy Ghost. So that is what converts you into being a Christian, is having the Holy Ghost. That's what makes you a son or daughter of God, is having the Holy Ghost and being sealed. And that's why the seal is so important. That's why the preachers talk so much about the seal and being sealed. And the scripture says to be sealed until the day of your redemption. That is the seal. That is your conversion to being a child of God, to being a Christian. That is the true conversion. So until you are not converted, until you've received the Holy Ghost. And he says, like, you are believing unto. And we know, and he says, you know, the devil believes also. And we know there's a scripture for that. Because the scripture says that... you know, Jesus, I think it was Jesus who said, like, you know, you say you believe, but the devils believe and tremble. The devils also believe in God. You know, and Brother Brandon says, I believe him to be a son of God. And you can say that and profess that, but the devils believe the same thing. The devils also know he's a son of God. And they're afraid of him. They said, the scripture says they tremble. But I like what Brother Brandon says here. He says, so does the devil. He says, but you're walking on towards him. So they believe, they tremble, and they fight, and they try to disrupt the plans of God. But when you believe, you need to walk on towards Him until you receive that Holy Spirit. So that's the difference between us and that's the difference between really an unconverted Christian or unconverted person and the devil. Is that, you know, the devil is going to tremble, you know, and they're going to try and disrupt. But an unconverted person who's seeking the will of God, who's seeking to be filled with the Holy Ghost, is going to walk on towards Him and believe unto the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Brother Branham says, now watch what Paul said. Paul said that John verily baptized unto repentance, not of remission of sins, but unto repentance, saying that's what you believe. When you accept Christ as your personal Savior, you are believing unto the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is not the baptism of the Holy Ghost, my dear Baptist brethren. It is wrong. So what he's saying here, he said, John verily baptized unto repentance, not for remission of sins. Now we know the scripture, you'll be baptized for the remission of your sins. But we know here that it says, if you go to Acts 1 verse 5, he's saying the same thing, saying, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. So there's a difference between repentance and the remission of sins. Repentance is turning away from your sins and asking to be forgiven. But the remission of sins is the cancellation of a debt, charge, or penalty. So, you know, John, you know, before Jesus came, because John was a forerunner to Jesus, he was baptizing people and for repentance. It was not for remission of sins. It was for repentance. It's like to say, the same way that, you know, we might go to our knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. You know, maybe someone would have to go out and get baptized and say, Lord, you know, Lord, forgive me. But the baptism that is now coming, once Jesus is gone and come back and is sending his spirit back, now that baptism is for the remission of sins. And that is, the, like once again, is the cancellation of a debt, charge, or penalty. So it is a cancellation of that debt. It is a cancellation of the sin debt that's in your life. So the charge and also the charge or penalty. So it's a cancellation of the sin. It's a cancellation of the penalty of sin. It's a cancellation of those things. That was not so before Jesus died and resurrected. Before, baptism was only unto repentance. That's why they had to be baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for the cancellation of your sins. So you could be completely done with that penalty, completely done with even the charge of sin. That's why you know, we say some of the Holy Ghost can't sin because it's covered by the blood. God can't see through the blood. Once it's covered, it's covered, and God can't see it. So that's why you need the Holy Ghost. And Brother Bam says, that's what it is. It's to make you live a holy life. That's what the Holy Ghost is power for, to set your affections on things above. So that's what the Holy Ghost is for, is to make us live a holy life. You know, without the Holy Ghost, we're not going to be able to live a holy life. That's why Brother Branham, one of the best ways he describes the journey of a believer, you know, justification is like you believe on the Lord. And that's kind of the, that's kind of, you know, the minimal, like, step. You know, that's even, like you said, even the devils believe. So you professing that I believe in the Son of God, I believe he, you know, Jesus Christ, he died and rose from the dead. You know, just professing that he is your Savior and that you believe. And that's like the very first step. Then sanctification is getting cleaned out. So all the sin in your life, all the bad stuff, all the, you know, stuff that takes you further away from God. You know, having God clean all that out of you, kind of take all that, like just cleaning out like old gunk and old just nastiness, you know, because he says our righteousness is like the filthy rags to God. So even our righteousness, we need to clean out everything so that God can fill us. And once we're clean, then God can come and put himself into us. Then he can come and live in our hearts. And we have to be clean first, because it says that God will not dwell in an unclean vessel. So we first have to be cleaned out and then have his spirit put in. You know, it's like, I don't know how much you relate to this, but it's like if someone's coming over to your house, right? And your parents start cleaning, or they tell you to start cleaning, or you start cleaning. You're trying to make the place a clean and hospitable place for whoever's coming over and for that guest. So, and that's what you have to do for God in your heart. You have to clean your heart. You have to clean your actions. You have to clean up your life. And make it a place where God would feel welcome, you know, because and you kind of have to visualize it in that way that you're preparing a place for God to stay, and you are that place. You are the place that you're preparing God to stay, and you have to clean yourself up, clean up your life, clean up your actions, clean up your words, clean up your jokes, clean up the things you watch, clean up just everything in your life to make sure that God wants to live there. You know, and that's really the desire of a Christian, is making sure that God is happy with you, and make sure that God is comfortable with the way you're living your life, because he's going to be living in you, and he doesn't want to dwell in an unclean vessel. That's why I like how Brother Louis sings that song, know ye not, you are a temple, based off that scripture, because you are a temple of the Holy Ghost, and that temple is not going to be a defiled temple, or as Brother Branham puts it, it's not going to be a temple where someone has habitual sin. You know, sanctification is to get rid of those habitual sins, like things that you do, like people who have addictions, like smoking or drinking, or people who still cuss, or people who still who have a habit of lying or a habit of stealing or those things, and different things that people deal with. You know, all that, all the sin in people's life, it's those habitual sins, those things you do as a habit continually. That those things need to be cleaned out, and then God can come and dwell in you. And Brother Graham's going to say it right here. It's to quit making you smoke and drink and want to be a big shot. It'll take that out of you. It'll humble you. When you do that, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. It's for a holy life. That's right. Make you quit gossiping. Make you quit playing cards, shooting craps, all these things that you do around the corner. It'll make you quit carrying on the way you're doing, living untrue to your wife. That's what it'll do. That's right. It'll quit making you want to do those things. And here he's talking about, maybe people who don't want to fully live that life. And he says, a woman says, it's just too hot. I just have to wear these. Or it gives me a headache if I let my hair grow. He says, but there's no excuses with the Holy Ghost. It's there to make it so. It'll follow the word just exactly. That's what the Holy Ghost is to do. It's to make you men turn your head from them half-naked women and quit lusting after them. And church members, that's what it's to do. And there's no excuses with the Holy Ghost. No matter if you think, oh, well, it's too hot outside. You know, I mean, I've heard people tell me, oh, it's so hot and you're wearing pants. Or I'm sure the sisters get similar comments about skirts and whatever. But there's no excuses with the Holy Ghost. It's going to live a holy life. It's going to live according to the scriptures. There's not going to be a time where, oh, well, the Holy Ghost knows that it's really hot out here, so I'm going to wear shorts today. No, that's not what the Holy Ghost is for. The Holy Ghost is to completely guide your body to, in your mind and spirit and soul, to doing the will of the Word. You know, once the Word is revealed to you, you just fall in line. You don't argue with it. You don't complain. You do what God says to do. That's why he says there's no excuses with the Holy Ghost. There's no, it's too hot out. There's no, you know, whatever excuse people come up with. But there's no excuses like that. And when the Holy Ghost is in you, you follow the word to the T. And he says, some of you people walking along saying, well, I can't quit drinking. I just can't quit this. The Holy Ghost comes to live in you and make all these can'ts get away from you. That's right. Make women stop cutting their hair. Make them quit wearing shorts and slacks. No excuses. Make them quit tattling. Oh yes, that's what it's for, to make you a holy life. It'll follow the instructions of the Bible every time. So that's what the Holy Ghost is for. And people have these, you know, and there's some sympathy for those people, because they're really trying to do well. And even Romans talks about, even multiple books in the Bible talk about, you know, the ministers and how, you know, they're trying to fight their flesh. It's a constant battle with your flesh. That's what Brother Branham said. It's the greatest battle ever fought is within your mind and within your flesh. It's because you want to do right and you keep kind of betraying your better intentions. But that's what the Holy Ghost is for. It's when you're saying, oh, I want to serve God and I want to do everything right, but I just can't seem to get over this thing, or I just keep doing this. I keep falling. I keep messing up. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. You just pray and believe unto receiving the Holy Ghost so that all those can'ts, like Brother Graham said, all those can'ts will get away from you. It'll make you stop doing those things. And I really appreciate Brother Wade's testimony. Talks about how when he got the Holy Ghost, you know, he called someone and he was about to say a word that he shouldn't say, like a curse or something. And then it just, I think he describes it as like, it felt like the wind just left his chest and it didn't let him say it. And that's what the Holy Ghost is for, to make you live a holy life. It'll make those things happen, which you need to pray that, you know, God will give it to you and you have to receive it. You have to clean out your life and then let God come in and let him get those can'ts out of the way. And Brother Graham goes on to talk about the can'ts. He says, don't now, stop that. Whatever you're doing that's wrong, stop it. You say, I can't. Then you haven't got the canter in you yet. When the Holy Ghost comes, he gives you power over the world. If you love the world, the things of the world, it's because the love of God isn't in you. Now there's no excuses. He makes it plain, and we got to come up to that mark. And I love the way he says it there in his broken English. But he says, then you haven't got the canter in you yet. When you say, I can't, he said, you haven't got the canter in you yet. When the Holy Ghost comes, he gives you power over the world. So if you're in your life and you're struggling with something, and, you know, maybe something in your own flesh, or you're you're trying to overcome a certain temptation or desire or something that you know is wrong, you have to wonder, you know, the scripture says, you know, we're going to have power over the world, power over these things. But Ram said, we're going to have, the Holy Ghost gives you power over the world. Then maybe you need to get that power. Maybe you need to search for that power. If you're not seeing that power in your life, maybe that's what you need to search for, is to make sure that you have that power. Because that's what the Holy Ghost is for, is to make you live a holy life, as Brother Branham just said, and as the scriptures lay out in many times, is to make you live a holy life. So if you're saying, oh, I'm trying to do this, but I can't, you don't have the cancer in you yet. You need to pray that God comes in you, the Holy Ghost comes in you, and then He will make the cancer, you know, easier. He'll make the cancer seamless. He'll make the cancer just come naturally, because it'll be Him living inside you doing the work, and that'll be your power. That's where your power comes from. The same way the scripture said that, you know, you're waiting for power on high, and it's that power that comes from the Holy Ghost that then lets you go witness to the world about what you have. That's the power that we're looking for. So we need to constantly be looking for that power. And if we don't have that power, we need to continue to look for it and focus on that. And to look to examine your life. And Brother Bob preached a really good sermon a couple weeks ago about who are you? And to look in the mirror of the Word. And to see if your life isn't lining up with the Word, then you need to go to God in prayer. Then you need to ask Him to fill you. You need to ask Him for the Holy Ghost, because that's where your power comes from. And that's how we will be able to be proper and effective witnesses for God and to truly please Him. And that's how we become converted in the first place. That is our conversion, is having the Holy Ghost. To have that power in our lives, to have power over the world, have power and dominion over those things, and to have our name written and remain in the book of life. So God bless you. You're dismissed.